ATM is safe, your banks are safe, there's enough cash in the financial system, and there is an infinite amount of cash at the Federal Reserve. An infinite amount of cash at the Federal Reserve.
An infinite amount of cash at the Federal Reserve.
Then I would sell my Bitcoin right into this rally. And believe me, I hadn't been a believer one time in Bitcoin. Not here, not now.
This trend has been margin called.
Think it was a hook, just to get out of town, they got a shoot. Believe in the crooks, 100%. Are they cooking the hooks? Stay up a deck and I'm up to the day. Another new unrest is getting away. Bigger the bag, bigger rep with the fat. But it all blows up, it is you who will pay.
Behind the ass inside the success. Pull back the curtains and what do you get? And it's the risk with a big safety net. Made from your savings, that's 401k. Give it to the other side of the trade. Socialized loss is why we've been the game. First to fall in this reckless war. You're just a pawn in the fulfilling this dream.
Don't believe intentions of pure. This crypto contagion stems from a system that incentivized fraud. As schemes get more complex and fallible, humans left unchecked. Playing the dog is going to get wrecked until her economy's a large GX.
What would happen if we take the money out of its systems? Why protest our labor when we get pulled out of capital? Where would we be if the money enriched it? Simply by holding purchasing power. How do we build a base? Replace the controlling effects with the will of free markets.
An independent system to remove the risk of corruption.
Step 2.
Move our savings into that system so no inevitable corruption.
Step 3.
Earn, save, spend, churn, and all activities move this way. We don't own everything changed. We don't allow the positive to
the effect. When the money is not earned our way, and with time earning a larger piece of pie, or it'll be yours to earn the money. Money is not our power, but when the magic of scorn of politicians comes with capturing power in place, and we
reap the value at the end of the day. So we can move value without being censored. Move up from gambling, saving, move up from all of the politics, move on to the end of the internet.
So we don't got the trust every word that they say. So the freedom and wealth can be taken away.
So the dream of money is all the same.
So we can get to the turn of this game.
Knowing the truth will break the frame. Now our perspectives forever change. Truth is the key for us to reclaim.
Open the door, enter the game.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Bitcoin Veteran Spaces episode 100. I want to say thank you for everybody who's tuned in for these 100 episodes. I am your host, Coleman, and happy Friday. Today's going to be a great show. We have Ben Puren, BTC Sessions, joining us today. Always look forward to when Ben joins us. If you're unfamiliar, go check out on YouTube right now. Give him a follow. He has every video that you could imagine to help you get set up, get familiar with Bitcoin apps, with your hard wallets, the best hot wallets. Again, if you're not following him, you're missing out. So highly encourage you to get out there and give him a follow right now. He also has the Bitcoin mentorship program. So if you want to have one-on-one training, you can get out there, reach out to him, and he'll walk you through everything. So without further ado, I want to say good morning, Ben. How are you doing?
Sorry, I was just getting my microphone there. Good morning. I'm doing great. Thank you so much for having me. I'm bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, ready to go.
Well, excellent. So I had a bunch of questions for you. I got up my sheet from last time and I just saw what I crossed off and I think there's only like three questions. So we still have a ton from the original time you're on here that I want to address. But I guess first thing I want to kind of go over is Justin Trudeau. It's not really Bitcoin related, but it looks like he is stepping down and there's going to be a new prime minister that will be coming in at some point this year. So just want to kind of get the feel of how Canadians are taking this, if it's going to be net positive for the Bitcoin ecosystem, and just kind of your thoughts on all that.
Yeah. So, I mean, with Justin Trudeau, blanket cross country, everyone dislikes him. Nobody wants him to be in power. He's been in power for 9 years now. And the country has just, the quality of life has just cratered. We used to basically be in line with quality of life for you guys in the US. And, you can literally look at, I think it's GDP per capita. There's a chart of it. And if you look on that chart, the moment he gets elected, it begins to diverge. And so we actually, things are much, much worse here. Groceries are way more expensive in terms of like how much worse they've gotten. Home prices are insane and wages are just garbage comparatively. It's like somebody had compared it, but it was like, the cost of living is already like 30% higher or something on average in Canada versus the US, but the average wage is like your lowest state, I think, compared to our highest province for wages. So it's just absolutely dismal. So everybody wants him out. That's including his own party. That's why he's resigning. The contender that is likely to get in, is Pierre Poilievre, and he is indeed a Bitcoiner. He knows some good, Canadian Bitcoiners that he's friends with and, has regular discussions with. He's been on, he's been on, like, for instance, the What Is Money show. He knows what's up. He's been a little bit more quiet about it because his timing in and around embracing Bitcoin just probably couldn't have been worse. And so when he started talking about Bitcoin, it basically was on the way down in the bear market. And so he got a lot of mud slung at him through that. And it was really the only ammo that they had against him. And so I think he was just cognizant of that and is cognizant of the nature of the market and kind of the cycles that it goes through. And so I think he's just kind of one of those, we'll just say silent Bitcoiners. But if you listen to his takes on economics in general, and he rightly points out the actual source of inflation, which is money printing, and he's very concise in describing it, I'm very excited for him to get in. He will get in. Like, if you look at the numbers right now, in terms of likelihood, he basically has double the poll numbers of the next closest party. Like, it's not even a contest at this point. It's just a matter of how big of a majority is he going to have. So that's kind of where we're sitting right now. We're just waiting on when the election will be. It will be at some point this year before October, but likely to be within the next, I'd say, 2 to 3 months here.
Oh, really? That quick? I didn't think they'd be able to push it through that quick.
Yeah, Canadian elections, like, you guys have the longest election cycles. I don't know. No wonder everybody gets so insane about it. It's because by the end, you're just ready to tear out each other's throats. It's like, you know, people pick red or blue and then just fight for 2 straight years of campaigning. It's pretty much a one and done thing here. It's like, as soon as an election is called, it happens within a few weeks and then you just go. So it's like a hard campaign and then you're done. So, you know, we'll have them probably in power relatively quickly here.
How does everybody raise billions of dollars though, if you do it so quick?
Exactly. Well, when you're dealing with the Canadian moose shekel, that doesn't have much value at all, then really it's not that difficult.
Yeah, it's crazy that the way that the Canadian dollar is just tanking. It's unfortunate. Jordan, I see you have your hand up. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, I just wanted to say, I think that's pretty cool that Pierre, kind of got in as everything was going down and like held strong. Like that would say a lot about somebody like who actually understands this and isn't scared off by, the price dropping, as opposed to somebody who maybe happens to find it as the price is going up. Even if they truly believe in it, even for them, I think it is hard to really gauge their commitment until they like go through that down cycle. And so, I think that's just pretty cool that he stuck with it, even if it was bad timing for him trying to sell it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's funny. If you listen to his most recent interview with Jordan Peterson, the two of them talking about the economic situation, it's without saying the word Bitcoin, they're basically fully talking about Bitcoin together. And furthermore, Pierre Poilievre had a speech in the House of Commons, and he used large portions of the Bitcoin standard to inform that speech, and he said such.
How much has the like Bitcoin's role in the Canadian trucker protest, how much has that maybe like influenced politicians talking about it by maybe if the populace has this like negative outlook on it or something, or is it that seen in a more positive light by Canadians?
That's a tough one because it was a very divided event for a lot of people. Obviously, a lot of people just got roped into the mainstream narrative. We have state-funded news in the CBC where they were able to just say, oh, it's a bunch of Nazis down there. As every kind of, painting with broad strokes, traditional media outlet will do, they'll pick the worst person in the largest protest in Canadian history and then roll with that as that is representative of everybody there. However, Pierre Poilievre was actually, when he looked at that event, he actually said, listen, like we have, your average hardworking Canadian trucker here and people of all walks of life and families and people like that, and they deserve to be heard. So like he looks, fondly at those people, and he did so even in the face of like extreme criticism when it was happening. So, I think he's got a good head on his shoulders. Again, in the context of politics, I would just caveat all of this by, even though I'm saying things very positively, you should never put all your trust in a politician, right? You should always, lead your life in a way where you're as self-sovereign as possible. I just view, friendly politicians, one, it does make your life easier. But two, it buys time, and that time can then be used for developers to build better, more resilient tools, and for people, if you're not a builder, to learn how to use them. So that's how I tend to look at this.
So Ben, I got a question for you, just kind of going along with this. Like, you played a very critical part in that trucker protest. It was back in January, February of 22. Can you kind of fill us in like what you did with that? And then kind of, I guess the effects, that the government, kind of came down and kind of squashed everything. And then what we could do differently now, or what you could do differently now, with the tools available to us to stay anonymous and to allow this stuff to kind of just keep going out.
Yeah. Yeah. So, full stop, there were a number of mistakes that, were made, and, a good portion of them sit in my lap, because, lacking the foresight to realize how big this event was going to be out the gate. There was rumblings, but, we didn't realize how far it was going to go. So, just to give you an idea, when it started, the assumption was, hey, this is going to remain legal because it would be insane for the government to clamp down on a completely legal and peaceful protest. And the other assumption was that regular traditional means of payment would still be available, and thus Bitcoin donations would be a bit of a niche and we wouldn't raise very much money. So at the time, the goal to raise was 10 million sats was the initial goal, and Bitcoin was at 40,000 at that point. So basically we're anticipating raising $4,000. What ended up happening was, of course, inside of 2 weeks, Canadian government declared a light version of martial law known as the Emergencies Act. They began shutting down bank accounts. They froze every fiat method of donation, and Bitcoin became the only method that was actually continuing to work. And we received over 21 Bitcoin. So 1/1,000,000th of all Bitcoin that will ever exist were donated to that particular cause. So with that, some of the tools that were used, number one, we used a tool, mostly because I was anticipating a bunch of small Lightning donations. So I basically just used my Lightning node that I had sitting on my shelf, and I plugged in an app called Tallycoin to it, which just gave a nice little landing page. So you could donate in Lightning, or you could donate on-chain. And they did allow you the option to provide an extended public key, which is it generates a new address every time. But unbeknownst to me, when I initially set it up, the XPub was used in a way where it generates a new address for each campaign, not for each donor. And so there was a situation where there was basically a static address on chain sitting there to receive donations. But when things started snowballing, there were a lot of people trying to scam and say that they were the Canadian trucker protest. And so swapping out our homepage would have surely resulted in many people being confused and then donating to a completely different cause. So that wasn't really an option. The other aspect of it that was tricky was, given we assumed it would remain legal in the eyes of the law, we did have a multi-sig going, in order to make sure that there was no single point of failure just in terms of somebody stealing the funds. But we publicly identified all the key holders, because you've got this double-edged sword of don't trust, verify. So people are wanting to know, well, who the hell is holding these funds in the first place? But on the other side of that, you've got, if shit goes sideways and the government actually does go after the people raising money, well, now they know who they are and they're all Canadian. And so that became an issue. And so basically what ended up happening, was we began distributing the funds to truckers on the ground. And so Caribou, he's the one that was, him and BJ were in Ottawa. I'm across the country in Calgary. Jeff had a key. Jeff Booth had a key. Greg Foss had a key. And so Caribou was doing the distribution. There were care packages that that actually JW helped with. And they kind of open sourced the distribution, which was cool. But they had care packages that were basically like, hey, here's how to access this Bitcoin. It was just like, just like a manila envelope with a preloaded Bitcoin wallet, instructions, how to sweep it, and then how to use the Bitcoin afterwards. So those were going out. Those packages at the time were like $8,000 a pop going out. And so, I mean, at this point, if anybody's held on to it, then, it was $40,000 Bitcoin at the time. So what is that? That's, $20,000 that they'd be holding on to right now, I think, as I'm doing my math right. So yeah, $20,000.
Is that Canadian or
I think that's Canadian. So about $1.25 American. But yeah, so, I think American would be about 15. At this point. But nonetheless, so those packages were getting handed out. But then we encountered a bug in the multi-sig that we were using, as with those were being distributed. So we got about, I think it was 14 or 15 Bitcoin distributed. And then we ran into this bug. Basically, we're using a multi-sig wallet that had an encrypted chat because we're all apart, right? So we needed to be able to sign transactions efficiently all together. And so what ended up happening was the chat, when you want to send a transaction, you say, hey, I want to send Bitcoin to this address. And it relays an encrypted chat message that anybody in the group can click on and sign themselves, which is super convenient, really cool. The issue we ran into was the chat message when somebody proposed a transaction wasn't being relayed. And so nobody could see the transaction to sign it. And so we just kind of had these stuck funds. But then the developers of the wallet, which were Nunchuck, by the way, they were awesome. They helped every step of the way, and they said, okay, so we need to basically, to resolve this, one person is going to need to grab the other, like at least two other keys from other people. So we'll have a temporary, we'll temporarily have enough keys to sign in one place, and then you can move the rest wherever you want. So, you know, four or five Bitcoin, something like that. So we did that, and then in and around that time, I get a message from Caribou saying, hey man, my door was just kicked in by the police. They took everything. I'm on a spare cell phone right now. They took my laptop, my computers, literally everything. I just wanted to let you know because that might be headed your way. I thought you should have some time to prepare just in case. And I was leaving for Costa Rica in 2 days with my family on a trip that I had planned like well in advance. So I'm freaking out. We ended up leaving the house with the kids 2 days early and paying cash for a hotel up near the airport and then waiting for a flight, not knowing if I would even be able to get on it. We ended up getting on it. I ended up going down to Costa Rica for a little bit. Not knowing if I'd be able to come home. And so it was a pretty stressful time. But besides the fact, those Bitcoin that were seized, there was a lawsuit filed against the organizers of the trucker protest by two individuals and a company in Ottawa because we disrupted their business for 2 weeks, which is laughable given that the people that were there protesting had their entire lives disrupted for 6 months,
and they were protesting the government shutting everything down and wanting to get businesses back up and running. So why didn't they sue the government?
Yeah, exactly. Well, the people there just didn't like the nature of the protest, right? Like, so they had a couple bad weeks of some honking, you know, and, unfortunately, what ended up happening with that lawsuit is, they did something called a Mariva injunction, which says that any funds involved in said lawsuit must be frozen and stay put until the resolution of said lawsuit. And so that remaining Bitcoin is just kind of sitting there it got moved to like an escrow with some lawyers and everything, and it's awaiting the outcome of that lawsuit. Now, I think the outcome may be actually pretty decent given that we had the Supreme Court of Canada rule that the actions of the government were unconstitutional. And so, but you know, the law is slow. So we shall see what happens with that. But the long and the short of it is, what would I have changed? Number one, obviously, a mechanism of receiving donations that creates a new address every single time, whereas the Lightning was just fine. It was really hard for anybody to really tell what the hell was going on. Some form of coin join after the fact would have also been beneficial. Multisig, I think, was a good idea. However, I would lean towards a smaller multisig. So probably 2 of 3. 3 of 5 was a little cumbersome to deal with when you've got to move quickly. And then furthermore, to split the difference between don't trust verify, like who's accepting these donations, and obfuscating the identities of the actual key holders, what I would probably do instead is I would have publicly identifiable and trusted members of the community individually vet key holders who are unbeknownst to each other. And the key holders wouldn't necessarily have to even be in the same jurisdiction. And then that way, you know, if somebody gets pinched and they say, oh, well, you got to give up the key holder's name. Well, I mean, I can give you the one and that person isn't in the country. So I don't know what to tell you. So that's kind of some of the main takeaways that I had for this. Sorry, it was a very long rant about that. But yeah, that's more or less what went down.
Hey, real quick, besides somebody going back and like listening to this spaces, do you have kind of the like all this after action information available on a video of yours or in a written down or anything? Cause like when we helped with Operation Gabriel and the Hurricane Helene efforts, like all this information is kind of stuff we learned a little bit about from you, but having like a quick resource to go and make sure you're kind of doing things right in this kind of scenario would be very helpful.
Yeah, I'd say the one that encapsulates it the best would be I did an interview with Peter McCormick, and we went through all of this kind of in detail, like what went right, what went wrong, kind of what I've detailed to you here. I just gave the Cliff's Notes version, I suppose. But that's probably the best, most in-depth version of this that I've done. I don't have it in written form, but perhaps that's a good resources video to put together in the future here.
It would make it easier for other organizations to go ahead and duplicate that and just kind of know what to do and what not to. Again, I think it was, I remember watching it back when it was taking place, and I just couldn't believe what was happening. I mean, I grew up in Canada my whole life, so just to see kind of everything take place was so surreal. But it was on it, like just how Bitcoin just came together and allowed this thing to keep going was just something to be very proud of.
Thanks, man.
Eomar, you have your hand up, sir.
What's wild about that? Yeah, I was just gonna say, what's wild about that? Like here in the States, we have, we had like Operation Choke Point, where they were trying to use, banking and credit card systems to kind of strangle out the firearms industry, and then Choke Point 2.0, which is still ongoing, where they're trying to choke out the crypto and Bitcoin industries. But like that's like very much like behind the scenes, right? Like if you're not involved with that, you don't really see it. But with that trucker thing, we saw very clearly like how the governments can like weaponize the fiat system, and it was just so open and out in the front. Like it was, It was like the individual level of what we did, in Ukraine, like when we stole Russia's reserves at the national level, it was like a big eye opener, I think, for different nation states. And I think what Trudeau did with the truckers was the same thing, but at the individual level, like it was really eye opening, I think, for a lot of people, for them to understand, like, this isn't your money, right? This is the government's money, and like they let you use it. And that's their mentality, and they will weaponize it against you, and that to me is I wrote about, I actually used the Canadian trucker example in that article I wrote it. I put it up in the Nest because it's so clear, like this is like that's the way they view it. Like it's their money and they let you use it. Well, if that's the case, then Bitcoin gives us a chance to have our money. Like we can hold on to it. It's decentralized. They can't weaponize it in the same way. It's just crazy hearing like the details. I haven't heard those details before. So it's really interesting, hearing all the different steps and stuff you have to take and all the mayhem that comes along with it. So it'd be really cool to see you, if you break it down in a longer form video and, lay out the groundwork and lessons learned for other people that are, looking to use, Bitcoin is like a fundraiser. The same thing popped up with, it wasn't even illegal, but like, UNRWA was, banks weren't allowing donations to, UNRWA at one point. But Bitcoin was still working, you could still donate to them via Bitcoin if you were in the UK, but you couldn't use your bank to do it. So, it seems to be a recurring theme.
Yeah. You're absolutely right. And it's, it's a little wild watching it actually play out when you know, a government takes those types of actions, especially like we think in the West we're immune to something like that. But, it just kind of goes to show that when there's, you know, some new circumstances that people aren't used to, things get crazy. Actually, you know what? There's a much better resource than that Peter McCormick interview. I'm sharing it to the Nest right now. I did a keynote speech at BTC Prague, and I went through step by step, exactly what we used and exactly how it could be improved. So I literally outline every piece of, what went wrong and how you avoid making those same mistakes. Now there's certain things that, you know, the tools have changed a little bit, but you'd probably be able to glean everything that you need from it. I hope anyways.
What are your thoughts on having just a bunch of these decentralized organizations? So take us, for example, like BB, we're just able to get out and go help communities. We did that in North Carolina. We created, restarted Operation Gabriel. We had boots on the ground. We were able to get out there. We used stats to help get people, you know, money to buy what they needed. And we established communications and comms. Do you think the significance of having just a bunch of these little decentralized organizations across the country is important? Kind of what are your thoughts on this?
Yeah, absolutely. I think for a variety of reasons, as you said, like, being able to quickly mobilize and help the community and deal with, extenuating circumstances. I think that is ultra important. But also like when you create a community, a local community, you can also be very unshakable in terms of, censorship resistance. And so, I know this is a slight tangent from kind of what you're talking about here, but, I think it's also important. Here in Calgary, we started, something called, the SAT market. And so, the SAT market effectively we started with all the Bitcoiners and we started organizing and, creating our own little circular economy here. And the impetus for this was a realization of the fact that if you have Bitcoin and, you know, you're saving away in it and everything, and then you're trying to use it, but you're relying on, you know, the corporations and different companies to kind of make ends meet. Like you want to spend your Bitcoin, you want to buy something. Okay. Well, you got to go through something that's like a bill payment service or get a gift card or something like that. That's all well and good. And I love those services. They really help bridge the gap for me. However, it's very easy to go and say, hey, that's illegal. Shut it down. You're no longer allowed to accept Bitcoin to your corporation and then send it in order to pay this person's bill for them or whatever it is. However, when you have a group of people, like-minded people that one, already produce quality goods and services, and two, already understand that Bitcoin is better money and would prefer to accept it, that becomes completely unshakable, because what happens is you create these community relationships that, you know, you can't censor somebody knowing somebody else. And so it becomes, well, I can get my beef. I can get my eggs, my barber. And I'm saying all this stuff because I literally do this, but beef, eggs, chicken. I paid my barber in Bitcoin yesterday. I have a plumber if I ever have an issue. I have other tradesmen that are skilled in various different areas. I can pretty much get by with most local things. I can get furniture built. I can get home repairs. Like all this super important thing. There's a massage therapist. I have a personal trainer now that gets paid in Bitcoin. All of this, we've kind of gone out of our way to ensure that people that not just provide like cool, you know, it's nice buying like Bitcoin apparel and stuff like that, but you also need your day-to-day needs met. And so that was kind of the focus here. And it kind of came from a selfish place, like realizing how delicate everything is and that the government can just at any time say, no, you're screwed. We're cutting you off and you're stuck in fiat land. This fixes that. And so I just put in the nest. I made an article about our last sat market that we had in and around Christmas. We're doing this, the market, the event itself, we're doing twice a year. And so what we're trying to do is encourage people, from, you know, all over to come in and, be a part of the sat market either by attending or being a merchant. And so this last one that we had, so Canada's quite large. Just to give you an idea, I live in Calgary, which is not, it's west, but it's not on the west coast. If I wanted to drive to the west coast right now, it would take me 12 hours. And if I want to go to the other end of the country towards Toronto, which isn't even the actual east coast, there's much further to go after that. There's like a couple of provinces after that. If I wanted to go to Toronto, it'd take me 4 days. Just to give you an idea of distance driven. We had people coming in from Toronto to Calgary to be part of the sat market, to just attend it. We had people coming in from Montreal, Vancouver, Edmonton, like all over. And so the goal here is to, yes, have people, I'd like inside of a year or two to have people flying in from around the globe to be a part of it. But I want people to see it, be a part of it, but also replicate it, because there's a different dynamic to building something like this when you're in a large city versus a small town. El Zante is amazing, but a very different dynamic to build up what they have there, because it's, that one is, let's walk down the street to every single vendor and orange pill them. In a city of 1.3 million people where I live, it's, you're not going to just like pick a street, which I guess you could. That's one tactic. But I found the most efficient thing was to get all the Bitcoiners that we knew of at the local meetup and then start pitching them hard on the idea of, you guys already have skills and businesses and goods and services that you can offer. You already know that this is better money. You're already earning dollars and taking some of those dollars and buying things that you need, but then also saving, buying Bitcoin. So why don't you just cut out one of those steps and all accept Bitcoin? And it was an easy sell. And so the last market we had 40 vendors. We had tons of attendees. It was a lot of fun. So fully encourage people to replicate this. But if you want to read about it, I put an article that I made up in the nest so that you can kind of check out what we've been up to.
That's awesome. And I love to hear that you've had such success in growing the sats market. But before I start moving on to the next part, I just want to give a quick thank you to our partners, Paladin Tower Tactics, professional firearms and tactical training, paladintowertactics.com. Punchplate, stamp your seed phrase on a metal plate. Go to punchplate.com, check them out. Black Sheep Ammo, restock your ammo at blacksheepammo.com. And Solo Satoshi, open source Bitcoin mining. Use the code BTCVETS with an S for 5% off. If you pay with Bitcoin, you get another 10% off. So potential for 15% off your order, solosatoshi.com. Bitcoin Alaska, July 5th and 6th. This is a family-friendly conference. It's in Juneau, Alaska, in the summer. Is absolutely amazing. So bring your spouse, bring the kids, bring your in-laws. It's going to be an amazing conference. Pre-conference activities take place on the 1st of July. Get there early. You can take part also in the Bitcoin Veterans Parade for 4th of July. Go check them out. Get your tickets, bitcoinalaska.org. And for any veterans, active duty, retired, or military spouses, Operation Bitcoin is putting on a crash course for Bitcoin. Registration ends Monday. They still have some limited spots available. There's a link up in the nest. Check them out at Operation Bitcoin. It's going to be a great course. It's hosted by Gabe Lord, one of our BVs. So please go check them out.
So Ben, at the beginning of the show, we talked about the cost of living increasing in Canada. And then we're just talking about how you created the sats market. Why is living on a Bitcoin standard, which I believe you've admitted that you do, so important to just kind of keep ahead of the game and be able to kind of just keep going?
Yeah. So I think it's important that, that we actually be, I think the timing is right, is kind of what I'm saying. I think that, well, I mean, let's look at, the case study of El Salvador. What happened there? Yes, you have a country that, the president declared Bitcoin legal tender, but what happened before that? What was the order of that? It wasn't the first thing that the administration wanted to do it, and then El Zante happened. What happened was the ground up movement that was beyond ignoring. You've had a small community that sprouted out of nowhere, that was literally seeded by a single anonymous Bitcoiner and then flourished into what it is now, where I've been there and you just live on Bitcoin. Most places you go, you can just pay in Bitcoin. You take an Uber, you can pay in Bitcoin. Like this, you can just do whatever. And actually, don't take an Uber, take a BitDriver. There's a company there that does rides for people that is specifically paid in Bitcoin. So like you can now, you know, in El Zante easily just live there on Bitcoin. Obviously you don't snap your fingers and the whole country accepts Bitcoin. So if you're in, say, San Salvador, you can live on Bitcoin. Absolutely. You just need to be more intentional with, where you're getting your goods and services, but you know, you can clearly do it. And so I think that it's important that communities like this, like the Sat Market and so many others that are around the world that are beginning to proliferate happen. Because when you get these swells of excitement with passionate communities and people actually solving the problems themselves, it forces the powers that be to bend the knee to Bitcoin. It forces their hand to say, like, this is like, we can't stop this. This is something that, even if we tried, it would still exist. Like, we can't tell people, who to have relationships with. It's just as with cash, you can't like stop somebody that's wanting to use cash, in the sense that physically like preventing the transaction from taking place. You can do away with cash existing because you own the central bank. But if somebody has opted to use a different currency that you have no control of, that's very, very unstoppable. And so, well, I appreciate that people treat Bitcoin as a savings technology, and that is a use case, absolutely. I would venture to say that more and more people, I think it's going to start with the vendors accepting Bitcoin, and it's going to be the vendors preferring Bitcoin because they recognize that it's better for saving. And if you've got, you know, if you're providing value for others and you're spending less than you earn, the next step and then the next piece of the puzzle naturally, to have a cheat code to life is literally just to save in a money that nobody can print. And so if you can do those things and part of it, you don't even have to convert. It's just getting people in the door to pay you in Bitcoin. And you know that you can still use that Bitcoin for any resources that you need, if you get more Bitcoin than dollars. I think that the vendors begin incentivizing people to pay in Bitcoin. And the dynamic that I really like, the idea that I really like is not so much offering a discount for Bitcoin, but charging a premium for fiat because it appropriately communicates what you're experiencing, that the fiat is more of a hindrance and something that you want less, as opposed to the opposite. And so, and the reason I say that as well, psychologically, people have this thing where they will put in more effort to prevent them losing something they already perceive as having versus putting in extra effort to gain something that they never had in the first place. So if somebody sees a price that is $100 and then they go to checkout and it says, oh, is $100 if you pay in Bitcoin, but if you're going to pay me in dollars, I'm going to need 120. They're going to be like, oh, screw that. I don't want to lose that extra $20. Maybe I need to start figuring out Bitcoin. And so this is literally what I do. Like if somebody wants to pay me for something, like my invoices, if you're trying to pay in fiat, then you're getting a premium. And it's 20%. I do not want the dollars. The same thing, like my company Bitcoin Mentor, if you're paying in fiat, it's a 15% premium and people pay it too. And so like, okay, great. We're still going to buy Bitcoin with it, but there's a process there. And who knows, there might be some slippage in the time between you paid and then, you know, we get Bitcoin. So, we pad that just in case. So yeah, I think that's the way forward. I think, and it makes you resilient. You can't be stopped, very easily if you've got a community and you can already just use the money peer to peer as intended.
Ben, do you take, both USD and Canadian dollars for?
So yeah, I've got an interesting dynamic here because of course native currency here is Canadian dollars, or as I affectionately call them, the Canadian moose shekel, because it's worth nothing. Everything here obviously is denominated in Canadian dollars. But you know how in countries where they've got a weak currency, oftentimes they'll default to the dollar as their preferred mechanism of being paid. They'll have things priced in their local currency, but then they'll also have like a US dollar price and they prefer to accept dollars. So I've got like another step in that. So all my pricing is denominated in US dollars because it's the more stable fiat currency. So the denomination of anything is, hey, prices are US dollars. But the preferred method of payment is Bitcoin. So I invoice in US dollars and expect payment in Bitcoin. Getting payments from the US in dollars is a huge pain in the butt as well. So like if I accept a payment, so we don't have like Venmo or Cash App or anything. We do have PayPal. And if you're sending a wire, just you may as well not even, like, I don't want to deal with it. So like I have previously accepted payments, via credit card, like, or via, PayPal, Square or PayPal or something like that, but especially PayPal, by the time I get the actual money into my bank account, I'm losing like 10%. Like it's insane. So honestly, the additional charge to pay in fiat is more than justified in my opinion. Or you could just pay me in Bitcoin. So that's kind of how I operate. I invoice in US dollars. I accept payment in Bitcoin. I may accept fiat payment, but, realistically the least used thing in this equation is Canadian dollars.
So Ben, I had another question. Obviously you have a lot of subscribers on YouTube. Have you noticed those, like the views of your videos going up as the price has gone up? What are your, do you have any correlations or have you paid attention to that?
Yeah. So, it's interesting. Yeah, absolutely. Viewership does go up and does kind of, we'll say that viewership, will spike when it comes to positive excitement and negative excitement, because people in both instances want to know what's up, what's going on. And so I'm referring specifically to if there's like, you know, if I do my Thursday show with Nico from Simply Bitcoin, when we do Simply Sessions and cover the news, there's spikes in viewership whenever something exciting is going on, obviously. Why are we bullish? Similar, I'd say. But the tutorials, funny enough, there's definitely more viewership during the bull runs. But they're pretty consistent all the time. It's just, I tailor the type of material that I'm covering based on where we are in the cycle. So right now, you know, there's a lot of excitement. There's a lot of new people coming in. So what am I going to be covering? Well, things that are maybe a bit more entry level. So like, you know, how do you secure with a hardware wallet? You know, and I might cover things like how to run a node or like a fun home miner or something like that, because people are always curious about that. But, it's done in a way that is, newcomer friendly. Whereas when we get to the bear market, who's still around? Not newcomers. You're looking at people that have been through a good portion of the market and are likely now looking for something more. They're looking to level up their knowledge beyond just the basics. So the bear markets are great opportunities to do really in-depth, more complicated topics, more complex stuff that a hardened Bitcoiner may want to do a deep dive into. And then overall, all of those videos tend to have a very, very long shelf life. So if I'm looking right now at my top 10 videos over the past 3 months, some of those videos are 3 years old. They'll be like a cold card video that I do, and people keep wanting to buy a cold card. And so they go and they check out the one of the most viewed cold card videos, or, you know, my Sparrow wallet video from 2021 is in the top 10 videos that have been viewed in the past 3 months. So like, really it's, and you know, obviously up there, there's other videos as well, like some of the more recent tutorials. But, the point being is that, a lot of this content in around the tutorials in particular is very, very evergreen, as opposed to the other, you know, when I'm doing, interview based shows or news based shows, that gets a burst of viewership out the gate, but it also turns stale quickly because people want to hear the most recent thing. That's just not true of education. The education stays relatively constant unless there's a massive overhaul of an interface or an app or a device. So yeah, that's kind of what I've been noticing.
So yeah, thanks for that. Speaking of individual, videos, last time we had you on, we brought up, I think it was just after, you had noticed that the new, Samurai wallet offshoot Ashigaru was, being ratioed, the video about that wallet. And so I'm curious, like, do you have any follow-ups on that? Have you noticed any changes, or is it the same, or what do you want to say about that?
Yeah, I came to understand that I basically had a shadow ban for a period of time. I don't know what the hell happened, but, even if you were searching, if you searched me, like if you searched BTC Sessions, it's hilarious. The whole front page, I would barely even have any of my stuff. If you searched, typically if you searched up a topic, you know, like Bitcoin tutorial or something, there'd be other people, but I'd be littered across the top, set of results. It was even weird if you would put in my name paired with a very specific, tutorial, it would serve you up me, but, queries that were completely unrelated to what you were actually looking for. So the research results were basically useless. And if you literally copy and pasted, the title of a video of mine, it just would not come up. It would serve you up random other stuff. I kind of started raising a stink on social media about, hey, there's something's going on. I think honestly, it may have been some crazy algorithmic thing, but, once everybody started actively searching and checking for me and everything, I don't know, it like reset the algo or something, but now it's back to, if you search stuff, you can find it. So thank God, but like we need other solutions. Like leaning so heavily on YouTube is not advisable, but right now, like it's just, yeah, like Noster, I think there could be solutions with that. But it's just, it needs to be accessible to new people, right? It needs to be, somebody can just go and find the content easily and search, and it's friendly and it actually gets a foothold, because the number one priority that I have is educating newcomers when they come in so that they have good tools at their fingertips. And if I disappear from the biggest platforms, then nobody's ever going to find it. So yeah, so it's a tough call there with that, but that's where it's at now.
Have you considered Rumble?
I do the live shows to Rumble. The tutorial stuff, I did try to like copy over the whole channel, but there's so much content that it was being weird. So I'm going to have to get somebody. I'm probably going to have to hire somebody to go and do that specifically.
That's funny. I actually, before you had said you were coming onto the show, I actually found you on YouTube because I recently started getting more active in Nosher. So I was trying to figure out how to set up. Like, I've had Primal for a while, but I haven't had a Lightning Wallet set up. So, and I very rarely post over there. So I'm like, all right, you know, with the recent actions on X, yeah, I was like, yeah, I should probably like get more involved, like actively involved in this. And I started looking into it and I actually came across a few of your videos to get everything, set up and working. So, you know, it's definitely, having a positive impact, I would say.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it. Very kind of you.
Infra, Bit Petro, AC, I want to give you a chance if you have any questions for Ben to go ahead and fire away. Ben, I just want to get just a time check. We're good to go till 10 o'clock.
Yeah, absolutely. I threw it, by the way, for anybody listening, I threw a few different things up in the nest there, just like relevant links, most recent tutorial, Bitcoin Mentor. So, peruse through that stuff if you're curious about even just like the channel in general is up there. So yeah, anything we've discussed is up there to peek at.
Yeah, no questions. But I do have an update for Ben on my adventures with, the university. So it looks like I might have cracked somebody at the, entrepreneurship department. And so maybe that's a route for if you guys are going to try and kind of tap the unis around you. It looks like the entrepreneurship departments are starting to thaw out to the idea of promoting a Bitcoin class. And, at least this head of this department is seeming to think that I can, as long as I soften my position on Bitcoin only, that I should be able to get into a Bitcoin curriculum at the university from, at least from the perspective of a high density compute, more, you know, like, because the university is really caring only about, you know, filling chairs, right? Like that's what they care about. And so at the end of the day, they have to translate that to students want jobs. And so, the kind of laser focus approach here is publicly traded Bitcoin miners are the start of something that looks like HPC from a scaling and infrastructure standpoint. And those are real hard, you know, business school and engineering level topics. That's not like, you know, let's go play in a garage. That's real deal. Entrepreneurship and logistics and systems theory and all of these different topics that universities already teach. But that, you know, if you're a Bitcoin mining investor, you've seen it. Like these companies are basically scraping at the walls for this talent. So I think that's something that, you know, Bitcoin veterans, if you guys are in the space of engineering and in the space of, you know, high density electrical, large scale networking, these companies are looking. And I think that, we can develop careers out of this very real Bitcoin path.
That's super exciting, man. I'm really glad to hear that. And, yeah, I mean, it's hard to ignore. And I think, people that are kind of the first ones through the gate, to get educated in the right places, are going to do quite well for themselves. People that like this, it's few and far between finding people that are like, you know, super well informed on mining and like ASIC maintenance and all that kind of stuff. I think those jobs are going to be, integral to society in the coming years, decades.
Infra, you have your hand up, sir.
Hey, good morning, guys. I just wanted to come by and say thank you. to Mr. Sessions. Probably like, I can't remember every single one that I've watched, but anytime I need, help with the technical side or user, user instructions, anything like that, I always go straight to your channel and you always have an amazingly clear, concise, detailed, guide for, definitely your Sparrow video. I remember that one for sure. But yeah, I appreciate it. You know, education is really important. As I've gotten older, I think I've gained more appreciation for the role of education. I try to do it on like the macroeconomic side, help educate the kind of daily person to, why the world is the way it is. We need people to educate on Bitcoin, the benefits of it. We need people to educate on the tech side too, I am certainly someone that struggles, even though I'm kind of a younger person. I'm not that great when it comes to technology. I think that there's a huge role for education, especially in the Bitcoin space. And the only other thing I wanted to say is I appreciate your demeanor, and your approach, your vibe. I think that, there are some, certainly, very colorful characters in the Bitcoin world. But the way that you present things is very down to earth. You seem like a super chill guy. So, I think that that's an important part too.
Well, thanks very much. Again, I appreciate it. And I want to say, learning the why of Bitcoin, without people teaching that, like yourself, people telling people why Bitcoin's so important, aka why the world is currently so broken under the fiat system. Without that, I don't have a job either, right? Like I'm not somebody's introduction to Bitcoin. I'm their next step currently down the line. Like once somebody says, oh, somebody taught me why this is important, I wonder how I actually use it. And so then they come my way. So I'm super appreciative of all the people like yourself that go out of their way, to help people understand, the cracks that are happening in our society right now and how Bitcoin is a solution there. And so, yeah. And then in terms of the vibe thing, I appreciate that as well. I'm glad it comes across well. Hopefully if people see me in person, I don't come off, as absolutely unhinged and crazy. I think I'm pretty consistent in person versus, and online, but, yeah, I appreciate it.
Hey, Ben, I know we're at the top of the hour, but, wondering if you saw, you're speaking about how people need to go out and teach and you're the second step. Have you seen that video that's going around? What's the problem?
I have it queued up. And that is on my list of things to watch this weekend. The dude is awesome. I actually chatted with him a little bit, just like DMs and stuff prior, and he was shooting it my way to take a peek at. But yeah, it's time to actually sit down and watch it. But I've seen it shared everywhere. I've heard really good things. Have you seen it? Is it good?
Yeah, man, it's incredible. I would encourage everybody to watch it. I can actually throw it up in the nest here before we end the show, but, its, handle is, sats versus fiat. And, I would encourage everybody to watch it. What I like it for is sending it, to people, just normies. It's really, really quite compelling. And it's, Joe, the gentleman who's done it, he's, an engineer. And, I've been messaging with him as well, trying to get him to maybe come on the show in the next couple of weeks, just to talk about, what he's trying to do with it. And, he's not trying to monetize it at all. It's really just, to orange pill more people. And so, man, you gotta be excited. Like when you see stuff like that, things that are really compelling for people, because like you said, if you are onboarding people well, their next step is all of your videos. So thanks for what you do. It really, is a great resource to the community and to all the people that are coming.
Thanks, man. And I'm for sure going to watch that. It's been queued up here. So, Maybe this evening I'll settle in and put on the fireplace and watch that.
Well, Ben, I do want to say on behalf of everybody, thank you so much for coming up. I know we did this pretty quick, and so I appreciate you being able to come in. And it was awesome that it lined up with our 100th episode of Spaces. So it was your great guest to have for a 100th show. Is there anywhere we can point people to help you with everything?
Yeah, I mean, first off, congrats on 100 episodes. That is absolutely awesome. You know, everybody I think that's listening should, if you haven't already, give Everybody on Stage here a follow so that you can be informed of the next Bitcoin veterans on here. It's always a good time. So, but outside of that, yeah, I mean, the stuff in the nest, I highly encourage you checking out. So there's a link to the channel. If you're not already subscribed, that would be very helpful. You can check out the Sat Market. I linked up to Bitcoin Mentor. So quick pitch for that is, obviously everybody in here is Bitcoiners. The way it might apply to you is if you find that, maybe you've become a bit of a Bitcoin Luddite, aka you learned like a handful of things a while back and that's all you've done. And then you're like, ah, crap, maybe it's time to learn a bit more, level up my skills or, you know, make sure my setup is properly secure or try something new, like running a node or home mining or whatever it may be. You can reach out at bitcoinmentor.io and I've got an awesome team of educators and you can book one-on-one video calls and, basically be helped through whatever you need, hardware, multi-sig, nodes, all of it. And then the direct action item that anybody could, really help with is I just dropped a new video that's up in the nest as well. It is a tutorial on the future bit, which is a home miner that you stick on your shelf. It's honestly, I quite enjoyed it. It's really, really cool. It's built really well. It's super robust. It runs a full Bitcoin node as well. So in particular, if you want to, point your on-chain wallets like Sparrow towards it, that can be useful there. For me, it functions as a space heater in my office as well. And then the way that I tend to think of it is one, it's a very, useful learning tool. And two, I prefer to just solo mine with it, meaning that it's kind of like a forever lottery ticket sitting on my shelf. And if I happen to hit a block, which has happened to somebody running a future bit already and two people running bit axes, if you hit a block, then that morning congratulations, you just won the lottery of 3.125 Bitcoin. So, anyways, check that video up in the nest there and, give it a little retweet if you can. You know, more eyes on it and the rest of the educational stuff is always helpful. You can retweet the channel link as well. That would be massively, massively helpful. But I want to say a huge thank you to you guys for having me. Always love these conversations and you guys are doing great work.
Thanks. Well, thank you, Ben. Yeah, thank you so much. And if you haven't done it, go and start following Ben. Go to his YouTube channels and subscribe and like. Really quick, one last one, Ben. Does Trump do an executive order for a strategic Bitcoin reserve next week?
Ooh, that's a tough one. I don't know. I somebody shared out the Poly market odds are at 60% right now. That did pretty good with the election itself. So, you know what? I will say I personally have no idea, but what I will say is a lot of very, very smart people whose opinions I very much value are saying that they think it either gets done day one with it as some sort of an executive order or at the latest within the first month or 100 days of him being in office. My rational brain is trying to tell me that it's not going to happen. But I keep on hearing from people that I consider to be smarter than me and maybe much better connected that it is. So we shall see.
Sorry, one more really important question. Beans in chili or Fritos?
Oh, I've never had Fritos in chili. I'm a beans kind of person, man. I don't know if I can do those Fritos. I'm trying to watch my figure here.
That's the way it's supposed to be. I just want to make sure that you were correct and not wrong like Coleman and the others in here.
Nice.
Well, Ben, I've agreed with everything you've said up until that moment, so we'll go ahead and end the show right here. Come nice. Back on Monday, guys. We'll be here all week, 10 o'clock. It is MLK Day, but we'll still have a show. Trump's inauguration. Next week's going to be just jam-packed. I don't expect it to be a dull week at all. I'm on the side of Ben. I think he does a strategic Bitcoin executive order on day one. Again, people smarter than me who I value their opinions seem to think it's going to happen. So I'm going to go with the flow with that one. But guys, go out there. Have a fantastic weekend. Again, if you haven't followed Ben, go give him a like, give him a follow. And again, Ben, thank you so much for tuning in. Go have a fantastic weekend, but don't shitcoin.
Thanks, guys.
Shitcoining is like putting beans in your chili and then sitting down and eating it.